this is Stephanie Rubel from the Stanford Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome you to our last book of the 2013-2014 book salon season, People of the Book. Professor Elaine Treharne is hosting our final selection, and we are so happy to have her here with us today. Professor Treharne is the Roberta Bowman Denning Professor of Humanities and co-director of the Center of Medieval and Early Modern Studies. She specializes in medieval manuscripts, particularly those books that contain English religious prose and poetry from around the year 1000 to 1220. Her research involves a great deal of learning about medieval methods of bookmaking, especially the provision of animal skin upon which such old books were written with quills. She also teaches paleography, the study of ancient handwriting, and is introducing new courses on the material book, all handmade books from papyrus to modern artist books. Elaine, thanks so much for joining our discussion.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So can you talk to us about why you selected this book?
I think as soon as anybody starts reading it and recognizes from your introduction there that I'm a medievalist, it would become immediately apparent why I selected this book, and indeed why it means quite a lot to me, and also why I set it as a text for my students in the material book course. And that is because it tells the story of a medieval manuscript from its origins right up to the present day, when these books have gone through so much, I think, oftentimes to survive the many centuries that they have in often terrible sorts of circumstances or awful sorts of situations. So as a medieval manuscript scholar, I think this novel is particularly well researched and rather beautifully written and very cleverly constructed to bring to life the kind of complexity and sometimes alienness of handmade books from many centuries ago, in a way that makes it very accessible and interesting for a modern reader. So that's a kind of obvious response. But also what's less obvious and equally important to me is, and particularly so since I've moved to the States from the United Kingdom, where the medieval tends to be all around you. Here, of course, one has to seek it out. And connections with the past are very important to me and part of what makes my job such a sort of energy-giving job is the ability to connect with both people and objects from the past. And when a person touches a manuscript book, you touch the touch of the person who touched it hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And we can do that here in the special collections at Stanford University, but she, Geraldine Brooks, also does that really beautifully through the course of the novel, brings alive each of the characters who imaginatively have close connections with the Sarajevo Haggadah. And I think she makes a remarkably good job, an effective job of that. And then I suppose the final thing I need to say really is that the way that books tell stories are increasingly significant in our modern world, where so much of our world is rapid and flashes by us. The number of images we see a day that we don't recognize, or the way that the screen in the digital realm, you know, slightly distances or flattens objects in front of our eyes. I think the digital world has made us more aware of the real world that we, I think, previously might have taken for granted. And in that sense, this particular novel shows us that one book like the Sarajevo Haggadah, which is an incredible book and exceptionally beautiful and deluxe, and many books are not like that, but even so, this book is a sight, a single object that holds within it trauma, love, veneration, desire, and even sort of national pride. And that's really quite astonishing. But it's also true that books can be about salvation or about learning or about joy, but books can also be about subjugation, about the need to conquer, and about the need to terrorize, or the way in which books can terrorize, rather. So I think she manages to do that kind of rich and complex historical imagining in a superbly moving and evocative way that is actually true to the history of books in general.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm really looking forward to diving into this. I haven't read anything by her before, so looking forward to it. What issues from People of the Book can you single out for our readers?
Well, I think the structure of the book is really interesting. Particularly interesting is the way that the main contemporary plot, which is about Hannah Heath, a book conservator, provides a sequence of frames to the many historical vignettes that give access to the manufacture of the book from the moment that it was conceived and produced in part to the moment that it ends up in the post Balkan conflict, I think is very well worth discussing or thinking about as readers move through the novel. And the movement back and forth in time is also both unsettling but also detail providing. And I think that that is also a very clever tactic on her part. So she, in the course of the book, she moves backwards in the historical vignettes and forwards in contemporary time. And I wonder how that makes readers feel, perhaps potentially a little bit unsettled. But what it actually does in terms of the Sarajevo Haggadah itself is to mirror the way that scholars actually go about studying these books, these medieval books, which tends to be from the outside in. So you start with the first thing you see, and then you work in to a kind of incredible level of detail. And in a sense, that's how she takes us through the history of this book. And it throws a very fascinating light on the book itself. I think readers might want to consider, and I'm still thinking about this actually, but the Sarajevo Haggadah as a character in the book. So rather like Hannah and Hannah's mother, and then all of the various historical and contemporary characters that we meet. The book is probably, together with Hannah, or perhaps even more than Hannah, a forceful character in the story of its own telling. And as I say, I'm still sort of thinking about this, but I think that's potentially a very interesting way to consider what's going on in the course of the book. And so it's not the story, the novel is called People of the Book, but it's quite clear very quickly that it's also about people in the book, those who leave traces, but also those who are closely related to its production. And then, of course, we become people in the book. And that becomes clear about three quarters of the way through when Hannah is talking about her own efforts to contemplate the book. And it's clear that she's almost inscribed herself into its history in the same way as one could argue as readers we're supposed to think of ourselves too. And then I suppose also, well, there are lots of interesting things to discuss, but the idea of the gradual revelation in the novel of the book, the Sarajevo Haggadah, is also a very, it's a useful kind of drawing in method. There's lots of moments of anticipation, and it's very easy to forget that we know lots of things as the novel progresses that Hannah, the lead character, does not know. So all of the detail that's revealed to us is not or only very partially revealed to her. And I wonder how that affects us as readers, and particularly how that affects our response to her, especially as the book draws to its very surprising conclusion. And then finally, other things that readers might find interesting and worth thinking about concern the focus on conflict that's illustrated through the pages of the medieval manuscript and the pages of the story of survival of the characters in the book. And conflict is very vividly depicted, and it's clearly essential to the drama of the novel. It's what makes many of the vignettes especially heartbreaking or especially moving to read. But it's not just the terrible conflicts like the modern wars in Bosnia, Serbia and Croatia that she details that I think affect us, but also the religious wars that are witnessed through the historical narration of the novel's fictional histories. And these religious wars are, in a sense, brought together through this single volume, this one medieval manuscript, in a way that, again, I think is surprisingly realistic, particularly when one looks at some of the books that have survived from, days before the religious persecutions of the early modern period, or that have survived conflicts, and thinking about the numbers of books that have not survived. And she talks about book burnings, but, you know, books were recently destroyed in Iraq. Books have recently been destroyed in Somalia and in very famous centres of book production during times of awful kind of crisis. So much cultural heritage is lost to us. And so I think, you know, that again is also a really significant part of the novel that readers might want to think about as they move through the book.
It sounds like there's a lot for us to discuss about this book. It sounds great. Can you talk to us about your favorite part and why you chose it?
I suppose I've got lots of favorite parts, really, and they could all be kind of pulled out of every section of the novel, because they are less about the human beings in the book than they are about the actual book itself. And of course, the book itself is a product of human craftsmanship. So perhaps embedded in what I'm about to say is a recognition of that. As a medievalist, you know, I've been working with medieval manuscripts for some 20 frightening years, 27 years now. And there is never a time when I'm not given a box or a packet in a library, special collections, where I'm not filled with anticipation at the thought of opening the lid and seeing what the book looks like inside it. And this is true of the facsimiles that we have here at Stanford Libraries, which are made as exact replicas of medieval books. It's as true of those as it is of individual little charters or fragments of books. I still do get that sort of immense anticipation. And so very early in the book, actually in the first chapter, when Hannah goes to Sarajevo to see the book that she's to conserve for the first time, and she's crotchety and irritated to be in a room that's filled with people who are, she feels, definitely going to get in the way of her working on this book. It's that sort of section when she first encounters the book that I particularly like and want my students to focus on when they're first encountering medieval manuscripts and this book. And in fact, in those opening pages in this first chapter, it's that sense of anticipation again, both a sense of anticipation that I can empathise with, but also a sense of anticipation because she's laying the groundwork for what the whole of the rest of the novel will involve. And she talks in terms of love, right? Parchment, she says, especially I love. So durable it can last for centuries, so fragile it can be destroyed in a careless instant. This is a little bit of poetic leeway, because parchment is actually incredibly resilient. But the point of it, I think, is brought home that medieval books are not the same as the, you know, millions of books that are printed, paperback novels like this very one is, in fact, that they are, each of them, absolutely unique. She talks about, she says, my work has to do with objects, not people. But then just a few paragraphs later, she says, when she's working with this manuscript, sometimes in the quiet, these people, that is the people of the book, speak to me. They let me see what their intentions were, and it helps me do my work. She says, I worry that the people around me, with the low chatter of their radios, would keep my friendly ghosts at bay, and I needed their help. There were so many questions. And I often think about the friendly ghosts, as she puts it, who inhabit the books that I read or that are available on every family bookshelf, where you take down the scruffy book that belonged to your mum, or you look at the 18th century or 19th century cheaply produced David Copperfield that you know belonged to, you know, your great-great-grandmother or something. And in a sense, those people through whose hands these books passed are still present in these books. And so it can count for any book that has some kind of family meaning or some kind of legacy. And I think in these chapters and portions of chapters where the manuscript's production and the manuscript sitting under the scrutiny of the conservator are dwelled on, it's those parts of the book that I find are my favourite parts of the book. And so there's one section actually in a really rather painful chapter of torture and religious persecution where we're put in the presence of the scribe who writes the book in a frenzy in order to give the manuscript to his brother. And that section of the chapter, it's David Ben Shushan, who's in Tarragona in 1492, when, of course, all Jews were expelled from medieval Spain, which is where this chapter is set. And he writes with an extraordinary obsession to the point of physical pain and actually sort of a spiritual revelation or even hallucination. And that sort of obsessiveness of a scribe at work, I think, is incredibly moving, actually. And given the context of this imaginary reconstruction of the book's production, especially significant and beautifully written. So I encourage readers to focus on the parts that help us reconstruct the fabrication of the book and its many travels around the whole of southern and central Europe.
Sounds wonderful. Can you tell us what you're currently reading?
So I'm reading large numbers of textbooks and student essays. That's what I'm currently reading. But I have a favourite author. Her name is Mary Lawson, and she's Canadian, contemporary Canadian author. And she has written three novels, and her third novel, Road Ends, has just been published. And I think, so she also wrote Crow Lake and The Other Side of the Bridge, and they're set in northern parts of Canada, quite remote sort of agricultural parts of Canada. And the stories that she creates are just wonderful, but her writing is exceptional. And when I read the first two novels, I rationed myself to one, I think it was one chapter a day, so that I wouldn't finish them too quickly, so that I could sort of linger over the book. And so Road Ends, her new novel, awaits me. And rather like Hannah Heath, when she knows she's about to see the Sarajevo Haggadah right before her, I'm waiting for a time when I can really give my undivided attention to this new novel, because Mary Lawson doesn't publish quickly at all. She's in her 60s, and this is just her third novel. And so I'm probably going to wait and kind of hang on to it until the end of the quarter so that I can linger over it in a way that I think her exquisite writing deserves.
Yeah, I think our group is always looking for some summer reading lists, so maybe we'll all add that to ours. Thank you so much for meeting with us and discussing People of the Book.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Stephanie.